chance to visit with him. We are in 1 John, and as we've been for a month and a half, and our focus has been this blessed assurance that we have in Christ Jesus, and that we can know that we have this assurance, the promise of eternal life. Doesn't mean we won't struggle, doesn't mean we won't have times where we have some doubts here and there, but we have the scriptures that are given to us that we can know that we have this life that God has promised. And that's why I think it's so important for us to continue to place these truths within our hearts and encourage one another with these words every opportunity, church, that we have, not only when we read the Bible on our own, but when we come together in settings like this and we get to hear from God's word. In religious circles, you will hear the discussion, and I know all of us have heard it before, what we call the lines of fellowship, where a line has been drawn between fellowship. And it shouldn't really surprise us, because not only in Christianity, but among every group of religious people, there are lines. Even you and I, if we're a God-fearing person, we're Christians, that even we individually have places where we've drawn lines. There is somewhere, there is some view or belief out there or lifestyle out there that you will say, I personally, if they haven't, that's one thing, but I personally have drawn a line there. I do not accept that someone says, Jesus is not the Christ. Jesus is not the Son of God. And so there's all different lines that have been drawn. We're very familiar with our own fellowship and those lines, and we're not going to get into detail. That's not the point of this lesson. The point here is just to start off by focusing on lines that have been drawn. For example, we sing with a cappella this morning. That is a line of fellowship. We know that for some. There are lines between those that on one side, we call it faith alone. And of course, we would need to really get into the scriptures to cover this in depth. But faith alone on one side, another side that says, no, it's not faith alone. There's more to it. The Bible doesn't just say faith alone. There's confession. There's a change in heart, in life. We call it repentance. And there's baptism, where we obey the gospel of Jesus. So there's different lines. And really, truthfully, there's more lines that have been drawn in fellowship than we even care to discuss. There are lines all over the place that have been drawn. But when we turn to 1 John, John focuses on this topic of fellowship. And really at the core of this fellowship is fellowship with God. And then it extends to fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, other fellow Christians. We have fellowship here, but our fellowship begins with our relationship with God, with fellowship with God. And John will actually speak to the black, what we would call the black and white of fellowship. In other words, when we say that's not really black and white, what are we saying? We're a little uncertain. It's a gray area, right? But to John, there isn't a gray area. In the topic at hand of fellowship with God, there isn't a gray area. And we're going to see that this morning to John. John is very will speak to this. He'll also speak to what we would call the test of fellowship. We've already covered several of these, and it all has to do with, again, this topic of fellowship with God. Do we have fellowship with God? And we'll get to that in a moment. Remember some of the teaching, though, that John was dealing with, that Christians were hearing, that they were being influenced by in that day, who were really trying to, and it sounds familiar to much of teaching today, that was trying to divorce, listen to this, church, trying to divorce religion from morality. That's what they were doing. And there are people today who are trying to divorce religion from morality. Yes, you can have fellowship with God, and then you could run amok. You can go live your life however you want to live your life. To make the case, shortly after John in his life, and after John died, and it's believed the very end of the first century. John was probably in his 90s, some say possibly close to 100 years old. But Irenaeus comes on the scene, and listen to what he wrote. "And committing many other abominations and impieties, they run us down, who from fear of God guard against sinning in thought or word, as utterly contemptible and ignorant persons. While they highly exalt themselves and claim to be perfect and the elect seed." What was Irenaeus saying? These are people claiming to have fellowship with God. Christians. The chosen and elect seed. But listen to what they were doing and how they were treating those who through fear of God, listen church, who feared God and didn't want to sin against God. Would they sin? Yes. John said you would. But they feared God enough and they didn't want to sin in thought or in deed or in word or in deed. And they were considered by these people to be contemptible and ignorant persons. While they claim to be the chosen elect seed of God. You can kind of see the seeds of that teaching and the outcrop of that teaching. And there's many other examples of this from Irenaeus. And so they were considered to be stumbling blocks to Christians who had fellowship with God. And I think this is part of the backdrop of this letter. Where are we this morning when it comes to the test of fellowship? And it all centers around if we say, as John says, he uses that phrase, we say this, or we say we have what? Fellowship with God. We all here this morning, I believe, say we have fellowship with God. And John will give us some things that we have to look at to test us whether or not we really do have fellowship with God. We can say we have it all day long. But John will reveal that saying it doesn't mean that we really have fellowship with God. And one of those tests is, as he said early on, do we walk in darkness? I would say that we don't. I hope you don't. And if you do, I plead with you to turn back to God. Because we cannot, that's part of the test of fellowship with God. If we say that we have fellowship with God, we cannot walk in darkness. Because remember, John reveals that the message of God is what? Remember, Jesus came to reveal this message from heaven. Reveal God to the human family and how God desires for us to live. And John says, listen, we were around this one. We saw him, we heard him, we touched him, we were with him. And the message from him was what? That God is light. That in him there is zero darkness. You can't find any at all. See, in us, remember, we talked about that. There is some glimpses of that because we are imperfect people. But thankfully, John answers that question of what we do about that when we still do have some of that sin in our life. As we walk in the light, we have the constant cleansing of the blood of Jesus. So that's one of the tests. The other test, if we say that we have fellowship with God, is this. But do we say we have no sin? Those false teachers in that day would say, you have no sin. Matter of fact, you can live in the flesh again how you want because the flesh is evil and it doesn't matter what you do in the flesh. It doesn't affect your relationship with God. And the writers of the New Testament say it does affect your relationship with God. There's no question. You cannot just say, I simply am a forgiven person so I can go and I can live my life any way that I choose to live my life, including in immorality. You can't do that. You can't divorce morality and religion. So that was a test. And last week we looked at the commandment. Do we keep the commandment or keep the word? And then the final point last week when it comes to the test of fellowship was, do we walk as he walked? Boy, that's a tall order, church. But that is God's calling to you and I. I know it's hard, isn't it? But we are called to live a life and walk as the example of our Lord. And John's going to bring that to our attention again later on in his letter. But today, this morning, in our text, John is going to reveal the final test of fellowship. So let's look at chapter 2, just a few verses here. 1 John 2, and we're going to look at verses 7 through 11. John again uses that term of endearment, beloved. He loved the Christians that he was writing to. And he said, "Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light. There is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes." So let's spend a few moments this morning focusing on these few verses from John. Now, when John begins this, and at first glance, you think to yourself, well, John, this is a contradiction. How can you say, "I'm not writing to you a new commandment," and then you turn around and you say, "But I am writing to you a new commandment"? We're going to try to look at that for just a moment. John uses the word here for old when he says, "I'm not writing a new commandment to you, but an old one." It's not old in the sense that it is gone, that it is passing away. We have some old folks here, and we love the old folks. They're still with us. They're old in number and years, right? But they're still here with us. And so John is saying, listen, the commandment is still here with us. All right? It is old in that it has been around for a while. That's the idea. It's been around for a while, or it's been around for a long time. But not, John is not saying the commandment is old and the commandment is gone. So how do we work through this? How do we make sure this isn't a contradiction? Because we know the Bible cannot be true and it cannot and contradict itself. That can't happen and be inspired by God, directed by the very Spirit of God. John says, "I write to you a new commandment," or "not writing to you a new commandment. On the other hand, I am writing to you a new commandment." Love is the commandment, isn't it? And John later on is going to really get into detail about this love. Really, this section is about love versus hate. And that has everything to do with fellowship with God. It has everything to do, John will say, of whether or not you are in darkness or you are in the light of our Lord. Love, do we love or do we hate? The idea of the new commandment of love, it's not only an old, a New Testament idea or the time of Christ, right? But it's also an Old Testament idea. You can find many verses. Leviticus 19:18 is one. I'll just share this one. "You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the," notice here though, "the sons of your people." Who were the sons of your people? They were your people, Israel. They were your people. "You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Sound familiar? Our Lord said that, right? "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Love has been around, but I think this is the idea. Love has been around for a long time, but the meaning changed or took on a fuller, or we could say a greater meaning when Jesus came on the scene, didn't it? Jesus brought a new love, didn't he? Did he not show the world a whole new example of what it really means to love one another? That's a new love. That is a new commandment that we are called to. Love was no longer just for those of our people either. like it had been under the law. Love under Jesus' law was a love of everybody, whether they were our people or not our people. Matter of fact, we've been even told, remember the passage of Scripture, you've heard that it was said, you shall hate your enemy. Where did that come from? I didn't know we were ever given that hate, teaching that we could hate. You've heard this said, hate your enemy, right? Are we to hate our enemy today? Love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. That's a tall order. But that's the commandment that we are given to love one another, even if it means our enemies and those that we don't like. We also understand, as Walter brought out this morning in his class, that love is of the will. It's not a feeling or an emotion. Anybody can love their own people. That's simple. Piece of cake, right? You love the people in your house. That's easy. Try loving those that aren't in your house or that don't see things as you and I see things. That's a much greater challenge. How about John chapter 13, 34 and 35? A new commandment I give to you, Jesus said, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And then he says, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Jesus is calling his people to a higher degree of love than ever before, than man has ever known, that he gave as a very example. And as a matter of fact, we learn here also that if his disciples follow this kind of love, this is their badge of identity. Some of you have badges for work, or have in the past, wherever you worked, and you have to have that badge to identify who you are, or that you are of this company or of this organization. Otherwise, you cannot get in. Darren, he has a badge of identity as a law enforcement officer. He cannot do what he does unless he shows his badge of identity. That's the idea. But Jesus says to the disciples, your badge of identity to the world is your love for one another. It's not that you go to church on Sunday. It's not that you know all the scriptures in the world and can argue with anybody under the sun. He says your badge of identity is what, church? Your love for one another. And that's how the world's going to know that you are my disciples. And what an influence we have when we grow in our love for one another. Hold your place in 1 John and go back to the Gospel of John. Same writers. John the Apostle, but look at John chapter 15 for just a moment. Short verse, another familiar verse. John 15 and verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. We know that verse. And who is he referring to? Who's the example of this one, that there is no greater love than one lay down his life for his friend? That's Jesus. Jesus is the example of one that laid down his life for his friends. Now, John will say, now you are to follow in that footstep also. I don't think it meant that everybody's supposed to physically die for our brothers and sisters, but our lives are to be living sacrifices. Go back to 1 John again. 1 John chapter, I believe it's chapter 3, verse 16. John says, we know love by this, that what? That he laid down his life for us, and that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So all of us are given that teaching that we are to follow the examples of Jesus. He laid down his life. We're to lay our lives down for one another. And that takes on many different examples, doesn't it? It wouldn't just be dying for someone. I don't know where I got this, but it's good. The grace of love is so basic that he who lacks it is deficient in all the virtues of Christianity. Where love does not exist, no other can. And I think that is so true. Love is at the pinnacle, isn't it? Is it any wonder why in the fruit of the Spirit, Paul begins with what? love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. We get that right, we'll get the other things right, won't we? I think that's a wonderful quote there. Where love doesn't exist, no other virtue of Christianity can. Think back to Matthew. Don't turn over there. Pharisees and Sadducees always wanted to trap Jesus, didn't they? We used to say in school the Sadducees were sad, you see. You know why the Sadducees were sad? They didn't believe in a resurrection. Go figure. What is the hope of the Christian? The hope of us, church, is a resurrected life. That death is not going to have the last word with us. That by the power of God, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is going to raise us up. Are we going to die? Yes, unless our Lord comes right now today, right? We're going to, but that's not the last word. That is our hope. Sadducees didn't believe in it. I don't know all that they believe, but that's sad, you see. I mean, it's not good. But the Pharisees and Sadducees always came along and wanted to trap our Lord. Sometimes he would shut their mouths very quickly. He would turn their arguments right around on them. But they would come to him and they would be relentless. And on one occasion they came to him and they came together and they asked him about which is this greatest commandment. And Jesus said, love God. Love God with what? Your everything. All your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he said, the second is very similar or like it. He says, you love your neighbor as yourself. Neighbor would be anybody, right? You love your neighbor as yourself. But then he says at the end of that, he says this. On these two commandments hangs or depends the whole law and the prophets. That is profound. That Jesus simplifies everything under the law and the prophets. Under these two commandments. Love God and love each other. It's a pretty amazing thing when you stop to really think about it. This section in 1 John, if you're not there, go back to it, is really a comparison of, as I said, hate, love versus hate. We could say light versus darkness. And John first says in verse 8 of chapter 2, he says in the second part, he says, after the commandment, he says that I'm writing a new commandment to you. He says, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, but the true light is already shining. Quickly, hold your place here. Go back to John's gospel again. Go to chapter 1, because he's going to say something very close to this in John chapter 1. Remember, John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, was the forerunner for Jesus, right? And he prepared the way. Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand, right? And he called the people to repent. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John was the forerunner for Jesus. Listen to what he says as a witness in verse 6. There came, this is John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. Now don't get this John confused with John who wrote this. Not the same John. This is John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify about what? The light. So that all might believe through him. He was not the light. Many thought John was the light. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was, notice, the true light. There were many lights in that day, but there was only one true light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. Sounds very familiar when you look at John when he said when Jesus came to explain him or to enlighten man, to reveal God to man, to reveal the true light. Jesus is that true light that John is referring to. So go back to 1 John now. Hate equals darkness, love equals light. If we have hatred in our life, we have fellowship with darkness. If we love, and of course that's growing. But if we love, we have fellowship with light. John's section is really comparing light versus darkness. Now, if they hate, notice three things that John will speak about, verse 9 and verse 11. First of all, verse 9, the one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. So the first thing that he reveals about hate is its existence. The existence of hate, that he is the hater is in darkness. That's John's words. If we've got a problem with it, we've got to deal with John, or we've got to deal with God. Because he says, if you hate, the existence is you are in darkness. And then he'll even take it a step further and he'll reveal the activities of those who hate. Where are those activities? Verse 11 and verse 8. But the one who hates his brother is in what? In the darkness. And walks in the darkness. And does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eye. So you see the existence. You see the activities. What's the activities? Walking in darkness. Those that hate are walking in darkness. And remember, we said walking is a progression, isn't it? It's a continuous action. It's not something you do once. It's something you do over and over and over and over again. Practice is another word used there. We could interchange those words. But also, not only the activities of hate, but notice he reveals the destiny. John reveals the destiny of hate. And it's not good, because he says in the last part of that verse, because he doesn't know where he is going, the darkness has blinded his eyes. They don't know where they are. They don't know where they're going. And what does that mean? They're lost. Because they are in the darkness, as John reveals. Remember the eclipse, and I touched on this weeks ago, but I want to do it again. The eclipse was pretty cool. And we all know there were certain places, and I believe Wyoming was one of them, where it went to total darkness for a little while. I think Ari and the girls and Jen got to see the total darkness. But what happened in that situation was the moon covered up the sun, right? And I want you to think about this in terms of hate being an eclipse of our heart. We cannot hate, because hatred covers up our hearts from the sun. That is Jesus himself, right? And brings about darkness in our life. And we've got to fight about this thing a lot, don't we? The eclipse of our heart and fighting against hatred and learning to love. Because John reveals in verse 10 what happens if they love. The one who loves his brother abides in the light. That's a great word, because it's a remaining. It's a staying with. You stay there. You remain with the light. It's a continual thing. And there is no cause for stumbling in him. In who? In the one who loves. Because they're in the light. And remember, John had even said, listen, go back to 1 John. You're going to walk in that light and you're going to love one another, but you're still going to have sin at times. But take comfort in the fact that the blood of Jesus constantly cleanses us as we walk in that light. Is it any wonder that John was known as the disciple of love? He was the disciple of love, because he talks about love, I believe, more than any other disciple. And remember, Jesus referred to John as who? The disciple, or he was referred to as the disciple whom he loved. Jesus didn't say that, but the disciple whom he loved. And we know that doesn't mean that Jesus didn't love any others, but there was a special relationship there with Jesus and this John. And so what does John do? He draws lines of fellowship. That's what he does. And it's a line again between light and darkness, between love and hate. And I want to close with this one thought, and then we'll be through this morning. Here's something I realized with John. He has said this phrase again and again, if we say. If we say. What does that mean, if we say? We say a lot of things, don't we? We say we have this. We say we are that. We say we are these people. But are we these people? And what I find with John and what he is doing again and again is saying that it's more than saying. What fellowship we're in doesn't really have to do with what fellowship I say I'm in. It's more to do with the walking than it has to do with the saying. Saying doesn't determine the fellowship Kurt is in. But how Kurt walks, that will determine what fellowship Kurt is in. And that's John, and that's what the Spirit has left us with. Is it any wonder why Paul in Galatians 5 with the fruit of the Spirit said, "But I say walk by the fruit of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh." You won't be the people who divorce religion and morality. You won't want to do that because you want fellowship with God. You want to be in the light, and you want to have that blessed assurance that He promises you and I and the rest of the world if we choose to walk in the light. Jesus is once again calling all of us to walk in the light. Keep walking, church. Keep walking in the light. Jesus is also, that we encourage you today to continue to walk with Him, to continue each day to walk in that light. There are some here today, this morning. You might be here and you might just need some encouraging words. And we want to encourage you. I hope that these words have encouraged you this morning. Maybe some of you here want to place membership and want to be part of this church. Or maybe you're just ready to fully commit to Jesus, to be baptized into the name of Jesus. And this is that moment that we ask you to come. As we stand, as we sing the invitation song, would you come?